Right, tonight. I've got a short message. It's supposed to be short. If I don't get sidetracked, what have we got? About 20 minutes, okay? But Andy asked me tonight when he came in, oh, what are you going to preach about tonight? What are you going to talk about? I said, I'm going to talk about Jesus. I thought I was joking, eh? Well, I'm not joking. I'm going to talk about Jesus. And the message tonight is entitled, Christ Our Redeemer. Now you think, oh, what's this got to do with... Well, Pastor James has been presenting a series on people arguing against what we, you know, what we present to them. And they've got their ideas about this and that and about Jesus and about salvation and about the Bible. They've all got their own ideas, right? So this is actually part of that. It's part of that. But we need to know as Christians who go and witness to people some things about Jesus that some people argue about, all right? So this is my message tonight. It's Christ our Redeemer, Mediator and Advocate. I want you to turn in your Bibles, please, to three scriptures tonight. Isaiah 44 to start with, please. Isaiah 44 and verse 24. We're going to see some things about Jesus Christ tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 44, verse 24. You got it? Here we go. Not waiting any longer. We're off. Verse 24 says, Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. You see that there? Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. Can you see that? He's our Redeemer. Here's what he says. And he that formed thee from the womb. Huh. He formed us from the womb. I am the Lord, he says, that maketh all things and stretches forth the heavens alone. Alone. You notice that word there, alone? I want you to take notice of some words here tonight. That spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. By myself. All right, you got that? Now I want you to look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, please. Only a couple of scriptures for you to turn to, but they're right at the beginning, three of them. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 4 to 6, we're going to see something else about the Lord Jesus. Here we go again. 1 Timothy 2, verses 4 to 6 says, talking about God our Saviour will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Right? For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. All right, now I want you to turn to 1 John 2 at the back of your Bible. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 to 2. This is that scripture we were talking about before the meeting, Andy. He said that Joyce Meyer reckons she didn't sin, doesn't sin anymore. Well, I've got news for her. 1 John 2, verses 1 and 2 says this, My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man, that ye sin not. Jesus, God says, don't sin. Don't sin, all right? These things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, but if you do sin, we have an advocate. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. You see that there? And he is the propitiation or the satisfaction for our sins. He paid the satisfactory price for our redemption, all right? And not for you, not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Everybody, all right? That shoots all the Calvinists down, my friends. So, Jesus shed his blood for the sins of the whole world. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for these scriptures that we've just read, Lord, that tell us very clearly, Lord, that you are the only one. You are the only one worthy. You are the only one that has done anything, Lord, which would satisfy God for to pay the price for our sins, Lord. We thank you for giving us a Bible. giving us the word, Lord, that we can look into when we come across people that want to argue and say different things about you, Lord. We can look in the scriptures and find exactly what you say, Lord, and we can believe it. We believe that your word is truth. The Bible tells us, thy word is truth. And we believe that and proclaim it. And Lord, we just pray that as we look through these scriptures tonight and what they actually mean, Lord, you bless us, help us to have open ears and receiving hearts as we go through this short message tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Righto. In Isaiah 44 and verse 24, we've just read about the Lord who is our Redeemer, right? That's the first scripture we read. To redeem something means to purchase it back, to ransom it, to liberate or rescue it from captivity or bondage, to release it from any obligation or liability. All right? In the biblical sense, as it applies to Christians, to be redeemed means that we have been rescued and delivered from bondage of sin and from the penalties of God's violated law. We're all against the law. All right? The one doing the redeeming, our Redeemer, the sinless Lord Jesus Christ, has suffered in the place of sinners, us. He suffered in our place. He suffered for the very sins that we should have suffered for. We should suffer for our own sins, right? With sin comes death. There's a penalty for sin. It's called death, all right? But Jesus Christ died the death that we should die. And because Christ is the only one who is sinless, he is the only one who could be found worthy to pay the acceptable redemption price to God. All right? Is that right? That's right, eh? In Revelation 5:9, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, we read this. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. That's about the word redemption and redeemer. We're going to have a look at now mediator. The mediator. In 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5, we've just read that the only one in the entire universe who is worthy to be the mediator between God and the redeemed. We just read about him. Again, we learn that it is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one. He's the only one. This verse tells us very clearly that there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. You notice it doesn't say the God Christ Jesus, it says the man. He had to be a man to identify with sinful man. All right? So he became flesh and dwelt among us. He became a man to be able to pay the redemption price. He was a man. He was God, he was deity, but he was a man. So to mediate means to be the middleman, to play the role of the one who intercedes and negotiates between two people or two groups that have a disagreement between each other for the purpose of reconciling them, making them friends again, you see. The Lord Jesus Christ is the sole mediator and intercessor between God and men. We've seen that, haven't we, in the Bible? We just read about it. He's the only one. He's the only one, all right? He continually presents the merits of his sacrificial death and his resurrection as the reason why we should be saved. There is but one great mediator and intercessor between God and men, okay? And he pleads for our salvation, not because there is any good in us, but based entirely upon what he has done on our behalf. He died on the cross and shed his blood for us. Amen? Isaiah 35:12, speaking of Jesus, we read, he was numbered with the transgressors and he bare the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors, us. Hebrews 7 and verse 25, also speaking of Jesus, tells us, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Okay? He is our Redeemer who gave himself a ransom for all. And he alone is able to mediate on our behalf and make intercession for us. I hope you're getting the message here. Jesus is the only one. Now we're going to talk about an advocate. In our opening scripture in 1 John 2 and verse 1, we've just read the wonderful statement that if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. You know, John said, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. God says, don't sin. Don't sin. He didn't say you wouldn't. Don't sin. You've been set free from the bondage of sin. But he says, if any man do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, that man Jesus Christ. Okay? If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's the only one that's righteous. An advocate is a person who acts on behalf of someone else, usually in a court of law, to be a counsel in defence of someone who has a criminal charge brought against them. As believers who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation, he is our advocate, our defence counsellor, who when we sin, God says don't sin, but if you do, we have this advocate who pleads our case before the Father. One of my commentaries puts it this way. Advocacy is the divine means to meet individual failure among Christians and to restore communion and rest of soul when it is lost or interrupted. So, there is only one person who meets all of God's requirements to qualify as the Redeemer of sinful mankind and also as the mediator and intercessor between them and God, and who can fulfill the role of advocate on their behalf. There is no one else. No one else. Is that clear? Yeah. You understand that. You've seen it in the Bible anyway. You all believe that, eh? No one. No one else in the entire universe. Actually, in Revelation 5 and verse 5 and 6, we read of the angel comforting John, who was weeping because no one in the entire creation was found worthy to open and read the book. The angel said to him, "Weep not. Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the root of David has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain." John saw a lamb with blood all over it. Have you ever seen a lamb that's been slain? Have you ever seen a lamb that's just been freshly slain? I have. I saw plenty of them. I worked for about 3 hours in a meat factory in Albany in Western Australia. I got a job with them. And my job was to hang the sheep pelts after the lamb had been killed and they skinned the thing. And I was working with a bunch of inmates from a jail, from the big jail over there. They were out on day work and I was in amongst all these blokes, blood everywhere. And we used to get these pelts and hang them on the drying racks in a big shed. So I know what a slain lamb looks like. Red blood stands out very clear on white wool. Amen. John saw a lamb looking like it had been slain. And we know who it is. We don't have to wonder who this lamb is. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he alone was found worthy to be our Redeemer, our Mediator, our Intercessor and Advocate. Okay? So that's what you're learning about Jesus tonight. But now I want to tell you something that some other people believe. Despite this testimony in Scripture of the unworthiness of anyone else to play the role of these ministries and functions of the Lord Jesus Christ, despite the Bible being clear that no one else is qualified for these roles or to even help in these roles, nevertheless, some people claim that Mary, the mother of Jesus, qualifies for these roles. But Mary, even though she was honoured among women to be the chosen vessel to bear the Lord Jesus Christ, she was a sinful human being just like the rest of us. Amen? She was blessed among women, but she's a sinful human being just like us. She could not possibly qualify for any of these roles, but the Catholic Church says that she does. For example, I'm going to read you some examples out of the Catechism of the Roman Catholic Church, their official teachings, all right? For example, in item number 969 of the Catechism of the Roman Catholic Church, it reads, "This motherhood of Mary in the order of grace continues uninterruptedly from the consent which she loyally gave at the Annunciation and which she sustained without wavering beneath the cross, until the eternal fulfilment of all the elect. Taken up to heaven, she did not lay aside this saving office, but by her manifold intercession continues to bring us the gifts of eternal salvation. All right? Therefore, the Blessed Virgin is invoked. That means she's prayed to and appealed to in the church under the titles of advocate. Did we just read about the advocate between us and God?
Jesus Christ.
That's right. The advocate, helper, benefactress, that's a beneficiator, and mediatrix, that's mediator. So they believe that Mary is the mediator, is a mediator with the Lord Jesus Christ between man and God, and also an advocate. So we can appeal, that's why they pray to Mary. We can appeal to Mary as an advocate when we stand before the court, when we sin before God. All right, also in Catechism number 1172, it is stated, in celebrating this annual cycle of the mysteries of Christ, Holy Church honours the Blessed Mary, Mother of God, with the special love. She is inseparably linked with the saving work of her Son. In her, the Church admires and exalts the most excellent fruit of redemption and joyfully contemplates, as in a faultless image, that which she desires herself and hopes wholly to be. Again, in Catechism number 494, it's stated that at the announcement that she would give birth to the Son of the Most High, without knowing men, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Mary responded with the obedience of faith, certain that with God nothing can be impossible. Behold, I am the handmaiden of the Lord, let it be done to me according to your word. That's what she said in the Bible. Thus, giving her consent to God's word, Mary becomes the mother of Jesus, espousing the divine will for salvation wholeheartedly, without a single sin to restrain her. She gave herself entirely to the person and the work of her Son, and did so in order to serve the mystery of redemption with him, and depended on him by God's grace. To give weight and authority to Catechism number 494, the Roman Catholic Church includes a quote by Irenaeus, one of the early Roman Catholic theologians. Irenaeus taught about Mary that being obedient, this is what he said, and it's part of their doctrine in the Catechism, being obedient, she became the cause of salvation for herself and for the whole human race. Mary became the cause of salvation for herself and for the whole human race. If she needed salvation for herself, they don't think very deep, you know. If she needed salvation for herself, how could she? She couldn't be sinless, eh? You know, only people who sin need to be saved. But anyhow, number 494 continues on to claim, hence, quote, hence not a few of the early fathers gladly assert the knot of Eve's disobedience, going back to Eve now, Eve's disobedience was untied by Mary's obedience. What the Virgin Eve bound through her disbelief, Mary loosed by her faith. Comparing her with Eve, they, that is the early church fathers, call Mary the mother of the living and frequently claim death through Eve, life through Mary. Contrary to what Roman Catholicism teaches in John 1:4, speaking of Jesus and not of his mother Mary, we read, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And again in 1 John 5:11, speaking once more of Jesus and not of his mother Mary, we read, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. This eternal life is in the Son of God, not the mother of Jesus.
Yeah, right.
Now, you know, we're not knocking Mary. Mary wouldn't claim all this stuff about herself. She was a humble little Jewish girl, remember? She wasn't puffed up with pride. God chose her to be the mother, the bearer of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son. All right? And she was a humble, it tells us she was a humble maid. And she still is humble. So she wouldn't claim this for herself. So we're not talking about Mary here. We're talking about those who have exalted her against her will. Okay? Now, all of this that we've just spoken about can be easily proven from Scripture to be blasphemous nonsense. And yet multitudes of Catholics, even those who vigorously profess that they regularly read their Bibles, recklessly go along with these damnable heresies and they become highly indignant when someone attempts to warn them that they are on the way to judgment and hell if they continue to hold to these beliefs and continue on in fellowship with those who teach them. Many Catholics are not even aware of what the Church teaches. They're not even aware of it. But when someone attempts to rescue them from their burning house, they do the same as the people read of in Zechariah 7:11, like your mate, Steve, who refuse to hearken. They refuse to listen and pull away their shoulders and stop their ears that they should not hear. You've seen a naughty little kid, you get him by the shoulder and come here and listen to me. And they pull their shoulder. These people get like that. They don't want to hear. They don't want to hear. Unfortunately, in our day of rampant ecumenism, an increasing number of people from the evangelical and Protestant denominations also become highly agitated and hostile if one of us who have diligently read our Bible should attempt to point out to them that their Roman Catholic friends and associates cannot be saved if they believe these things. More and more in these closing days of the church age, the Word of God is being brushed aside and even spoken evil of if its teachings oppose the evil agendas of society in the apostate churches. Now, we had a bloke come in here the other day, a couple of weeks ago, and I told him, we're not ecumenical in here, mate. We're not ecumenical. We don't have any fellowship and association with the Roman Catholic Church. We've got fellowship with Roman Catholics, but not with the Church. We don't want anything to do with them. And I said, all the churches are going back to Rome today. He said, you're an idiot. You're mad. You don't know what you're talking about. You're nothing but an idiot. That's what he said to me. I said, well, have it your way. You go along with them. We're not going with them, though. We're going a different way here. So don't come in here looking for ecumenism. And I told him, don't come in here looking for rock music either. Because I knew the bloke from way, way back in history. I knew him. He was a madman. A Pentecostal madman. But anyhow, in closing, this short message tonight is for the purpose of equipping us and preparing us to successfully stand firm in this immoral and wicked day when most denominations are falling under the ecumenical spell of the Roman Catholic Church and the Pope, who calls himself by the blasphemous title the Vicar of Christ. The Vicar of Christ. What does that mean, Vicar of Christ? It means he believes he substitutes Christ. He is vicariously in place of Jesus. That's what the Vicar of Christ means. You think, oh, he's just a Vicar of Christ. Well, he's saying he's vicariously stands in the place of Jesus here on earth, right? Most non-Catholic denominations today would have us believe, along with all the Roman Catholics, that they are genuine born-again brothers and sisters in the Lord, and that it is bigoted and offensive of us to even suggest that they have a need to hear the true gospel of Christ, that they should reject the idolatrous and blasphemous religion and be genuinely saved. We live in a day that the Lord spoke of when he said, many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. We're in that day, my friends, because the disciples said, what will be the sign of your coming? He said, oh, many will come in my name saying that I am Christ and deceive many. We live in the day of rampant deception. Rampant deception. Despite how unpopular we might become, let us not be a part of that increasing congregation today who dishonour the Lord Jesus Christ, denying that he is the only one who is worthy, the only one who qualifies to be our Redeemer, our Mediator, and our Advocate. Amen? Amen? Let's pray and close. Thank you, Lord, for this short message. Thank you, Lord, for your word, which teaches us and assures us, Lord, of the truth that you are the only one, Lord. We've put our hope and trust in you, Lord, and it's in the right place. Thank you for these people who've come out tonight, Lord.